Good morning, everyone. Today, I want to bring you a message that I feel is straight from the heart of God. And I'm not going to get in a hurry today, so bear with me if I... Just bear with me. Pray, and let's ask the Lord to help us to deliver this message in a way that is pleasing to Him. Father, I do ask you this morning that the Holy Spirit would have His way. Lord, that you would place an anointing on this word as delivered with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, as it was when you dropped it in my spirit, Lord Jesus. And I ask us, O God, to put on spiritual eyes and ears that we may hear and see the message that you would speak to us today. In Jesus' name, we give all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor to you, O King of Jerusalem. As you rode in on the donkey, Lord Jesus, we crown you in our hearts today as the risen Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to call this message today the offering, the team, and the sufficiency. And for a little bit of background, if you would turn to the book of Exodus chapter 12, we're going to be looking through verses 29 through 36 in this background section, and I'm not going to read it. We're just going to summarize it, but you can follow along if you'd like, because it'll be easy to see. So this passage of scripture is just after the 10th plague took place, after the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians, where God sent out the death angel and told the death angel to kill every firstborn of the Egyptians in every house, every barn, every field that did not have the blood applied to it. So Israel's firstborn were not killed. They were spared if they put the blood across the doorpost as God had instructed them to do. But the Egyptian firstborn, as I said, the animals, whatever it was, were killed by the hand of the death angel of God's plague number 10. So that night, Pharaoh and the people of Egypt had had it up to here with the hand of God being upon Israel in favor. No matter what they did, God's hand was visible to Egypt and to Pharaoh. And they said, we've had it. Pack your bags and get out of Egypt. Get everything you need. Take everything you want. Just get out of here before we all end up dead. Verses 33 through 36 tells how the Egyptians gave them everything they asked for to make their journey, whether it was flocks and herds and grain and gold and silver, jewels, cloth, clothing. And verse 36 sums up this passage by saying, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have whatever they asked for. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Remember that phrase. Because this fulfilled two prophecies, one given to Moses at the burning bush, where God said, when you come up out of Egypt, you will not come up empty-handed. You will plunder Egypt. And this same prophecy was given to Abraham that his descendants would come up out of Egypt with great possessions. Thus, the significance of reviewing this portion of the background of where this bounty came from that we're going to read about. Now, if you would flip forward a few pages to chapter 25, we're going to look at a very special offering, the first of the three portions of the title of this message, the contribution or the offering. We're going to look at chapter 25, starting in verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel that they take for me contribution or an offering from every man whose heart moves him. You shall receive the contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece." We're talking about the Urim and the Thummim of the priesthood. "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, so you shall make it." Now, God had provided, we just read the background, where all of these materials came from the plundering of Egypt. So, in essence, God used pagan funds, listen, God used pagan funds to build the house that he would dwell in among the people. Amen? It's the word of God, not my word. Now, God told Moses to take up an offering or a contribution, but only from those whose heart was in the giving. God did not want nor need anything from an unwilling heart, from an unwilling giver, begrudging a contribution to build his house, even though the materials weren't theirs because they came from the Egyptians. He wanted them to be invested in their giving. And now if you would turn forward a few more chapters to chapter 31, reading verse 1. We're going to read about the second element of the message. That was the contribution. This is the team. "The Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel.'" Some versions say Bezaleel with that extra syllable in there, but in mine it's Bezalel, "the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God and with the ability and intelligence, with all knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, in the work to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholiab, that's a hard one to say, Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you: the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, and the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand and all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings, with all its utensils, and the basin, and its stand, and the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron and the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." the team. Don't think for one minute that God doesn't provide what is needed. From the very raw materials, as we just read, the substance from which to build, and now he's providing the hand-picked team of people and bestowed upon them through the power of the Holy Ghost the requisite talent that he's needed, that is needed to accomplish all of this work. This passage that says, God selected Bezalel, the son of Uri. Uri means my light and my flame. Uri is the tribe of Judah. Who else was from the tribe of Judah? Jesus Christ. And he's the grandson of Caleb. Uri was the gatekeeper for the Levites. He was responsible for managing the rooms, the treasuries, all of the supplies, and all of the things that the Levites would need in their service to the house of the Lord. Bezalel means in the shadow or protection of God. And God even ordained his name from birth. God said, I filled him with my Holy Spirit, and I imparted to him all of the ability, the intelligence, the knowledge, the craftsmanship to design artistic designs, or to be the architect, if you will, to draw up the plans, to teach the others how to work in gold and silver and bronze, how to cut the stones, carve the wood, and do every craft. But God in his wisdom knew that even coming from such important historical background as his father, working in the house of God, being the support person and the administrator for the Levites, and even being filled with all this knowledge and ability from the Holy Spirit, he couldn't possibly physically do all the work himself. So God chose people. God put his hand upon those, and he filled them too with the knowledge and gave him an assistant, Aholiab, the assistant, the son of Ahisamach. Ahisamach means my brother supports. Amen? The assistant to the leader's father's name was my brother supports. So Aholiab comes from a stock of supporting men. And Aholiab means the tent of my father. Can you believe it? And now he's building the tent of God himself. Oh, hallelujah. What a team God assembled to do this work. What a miracle of provision of the raw materials, the comprehension and ability that was required. And now the power team has been assembled to do the physical work. And God said he equipped every able-bodied man to do their part to help build the temple. I don't know how he'll build it, but he will. I don't know how he'll build it, but he will. God knows we need it. Believe it and receive it. I don't know how he'll build it, but he will. Would you please turn forward one last time to chapter 36? We're going to read about the final installment of this message, the sufficiency of God. We're going to start in chapter 36, verse 1. And Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put the skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do the work, and they received from Moses the contribution. Remember the offering we talked about? And the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him free will offerings every morning. That's verse 3. Verse 4. So that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, the people bring so much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave the command, and the word was proclaimed throughout the camp, let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing for the material that they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. Does your verse 6 end with "and more"? I don't know how he'll rebuild Calvary Temple, but he will. I don't know how he'll rebuild Calvary Temple, but he will. The Lord knows we need it. Believe it and receive it. I don't know how he'll build it, but he will. God provided the contribution. He handpicked the perfect team. He provided the infilling of the Holy Spirit with all the knowledge and the skill and ability needed, and all the workers to do the work. And it was far, far more than was necessary to accomplish the task. I'm going to say it again. I don't know how he'll rebuild Calvary Temple, but he will. I know he's done it before. I don't know how he'll rebuild it, but he will. God knows we need it, so believe it and receive it. I don't know how he'll build it, but he will. 3 years ago, the Lord gave me a song called Behold, I Do a New Thing. It won't be as before. Behold, I do a new thing. My spirit I will outpour. He said, I will open rivers in high places that don't exist and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And I will plant in the desert the cedar, and you shall call me blessed. At the time I wrote this, I had no clue what it could relate to, how it could apply to us at the time. Maybe in the last days, related to Joel chapter 2 prophecy. But I want to tell you, I can see now how the miraculous hand of God in this message alone this morning, how he's provided every raw material. Our raw materials come from income, from a daycare that sits on our property and helps us, and from the tithe the people pay to support the work here in this place. I can see how his hand moves in impossible ways. I told you about little Ellie. My friend Leanne calls her Little Red, and I almost said that. How Little Red was such a miracle of life. I've seen God's hand move many times in healing people from a deathbed situation. I know that a few weeks ago we talked about how this church, how we want to be known. How do you want to be known in this church? That was the message that I brought. We have such a rich history and legacy behind us to stand upon firmly. A Bible church, not somebody else's work that we're reading. We study the Bible, for it is the life to us. A praying church, a worshiping church, a praising and rejoicing, a shouting church. Yes, all of these in our legacy. I do believe we will sing a new song, and we won't have to wait very long, as the song the Lord gave me. And we do not have to fear, because He will make the plans clear to us, but only if our heart is in it. Only, will you stand with me this morning? Only if our heart wants to contribute to the work of the Lord. Only if He brings people in, if we want to help train them and lift them up in the Lord and show them the history that we have. Only for the ones that care to do it, to invest themselves. If you want to come forward and pray, please do. I hope that this message has made sense to you. I hope that it has sparked a desire to want to be invested in the contribution, in the team building, and in the sufficiency that we can all say, look what the Lord has done. The song we sang this morning, Are You Washed in the Blood? It says, not of good that I have done, nothing that I can do could accomplish any of this, but the miraculous hand of God did it all. Amen. Father, I have been obedient in delivering this message. Lord, we do know that You are all sufficient. You are capable, oh God, beyond our even imagination. And we don't know how You will do it. But as the song said that Tommy Bates wrote, says, we don't know how You're going to do it, but You will. Lord, You've given us the history of this place, the legacy. We come from prayer warriors, from hard workers, from spiritual mothers and fathers praying us through as little girls at this altar, teaching us hour upon hour upon hour in our Sunday school rooms, Lord. They paid high prices to see Your hand move. And Lord, we're asking for You to pour out Your Spirit once again in this place. I believe that we're willing. I believe, Lord, that You will send the people. I believe, Lord, that workers will come and that You will put the knowledge and the ability in their minds and in ours, Lord. Move on our hearts, Lord, that we may contribute and participate and see Your hand move. I've told you before about Tommy Bates in Kentucky. Pastors a church of Appalachian people, mountain people. They are literally busting out the seams in their church. And the Lord moved upon him to start a building program from nothing. They're pouring the concrete this week. The cost started out to be $8 million. They had nothing. Then they got $5 million collected. Then the quote increased because of COVID and the difficulty with trucking and all of the materials hard to get and that sort of thing. Now the quote is $18 million. And he wrote that little song. I don't know how he'll build it, but he will. God knows we need it. They have 4 services a week. They don't have enough room or people to manage that kind of demand to get close to God. But the key people keep coming in. I don't know how he'll do it either, but I know the Lord put this in my heart for a reason. And I want to be one that is willing to do the contribution, because he provides everything that we need anyway, just like he did for Israel. I want to be willing to do the work, even though I'm old. I am not very strong. I can't do much. But he can give us the knowledge, and he can bring us the people. And I will be the first to stand and say, look what the Lord has accomplished. I want to say one thing about that right now. We have, through the school that the kids go to, we have had the benefit of having 2 work days with probably 10 or 12, I don't know, I didn't count them, young men and women who are so willing to do something for the Lord. And of course they have to do it because their school requires it, but they come in here and with some leadership and guidance, they just start doing things and cleaning things that haven't been done in many, many years. We do see the hand of God moving. We see all this new, beautiful equipment that we have in here. We have plans already in place. Doug got the new, some swatches for the new pews this week. We've got carpet that we need to replace and the painting inside and out. God knows it all, and he knows what's coming, even though we don't. Folks, let's bind our hearts together and be willing to contribute. Be willing to be on the power team and be willing to be on the praise team that says, look what God has done. Amen. I'm done. Joyce, sure. Anybody can come and pray, of course, anytime. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word, for it is power and it is life to us. We thank you for the Spirit of God that we saw in this message. Oh, the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't even comprehend all that he is capable of doing through us. Lord, we want to be saturated with your Holy Spirit. We want it to be oozing out of our pores, Lord, that others can see and be drawn to you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that your protection and your hovering over us, Lord, would go with us from this place. Lord Jesus, that we would digest this message, that we would read it over and over in your word, Lord, how you provided everything necessary to build a place to dwell with your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name as we come upon this Easter service next week, Lord, that we never forget the sacrifice that you made for our salvation. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen. I don't know how he'll build it, but he will.